All right. So praise the Lord. So how many of you are ready to hear the word of God today? Amen. Amen. Say amen there. Let's hear it. We're going to be in 1 Peter today, chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And the message today is called To Glory and Excellence. Everybody say excellence. All right. How many of you want to be good at what you do? All right. How many of you hate not being good at something that you want to do, right? It's really tough on you. That attitude of wanting excellence in your life comes from your Heavenly Father. That's where it comes from. An attitude of excellence is from God. That's just the way it is. Your pet animals, I'm sorry, they don't care about excellence. They just do it. Whatever comes natural. But there's something about us that we are made in His image where we really want to do something and do it with excellence. And it's right here in the Scriptures. Look at verse 3 of 2 Peter chapter 1. His divine power has granted to us all things. Everybody say all things. That pertain to life and godliness. So God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And it is through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. Now, it's translated different words in different places. But the word in the Greek, in my opinion, is best translated to English today. The way we talk it is excellence. When you do it with God's own glory and God's own excellence. There is a difference in the way you do things when you become a son or a child of God. You do things with greater excellence than you did before. I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit and Jesus took residence in my life, there was a greater glory and excellence in what I did about things. My grades went up. At the time, I was going to college. Do you believe that God does stuff like this? And God wants us to prosper. Prospering doesn't mean just your pocketbook getting bigger or your wallet getting thicker with money. Prospering means that whatever you use that money for, you're using it well. You know, you could prosper in how you spend your money as well as how you get your money. But God really wants us to embrace His excellence in our life. And how we embrace His, what does it say? His own glory. I mean, have you thought about what it means to have God's glory in your life? What's God's glory all about? Is it just like a light show? We all go to a rock concert. Yeah, man. There's a lot of glory in that rock concert. What was it? The light show. Well, it's not just a bunch of lights flashing around God. His glory is more than that. His glory is in His excellence. And everything that He does well. So I to say this as a musician, I think I play better because of the Lord. I do. I can give you testimonies of times where the Lord challenged me. This sounds crazy. And He helped me study more as a person. I mean, God gave me the grace to practice. God gave me the grace or the ability to want to do well in whatever I did. And there were times when He challenged me. He said, I want you to trust me. I'd rather have you go to this church meeting instead of doing whatever you got to do. Trust me for the test. And there are times when I walked into a test and I felt like I didn't study enough, but God gave me grace to ace it. I've had that happen. Not why? Not to make me lazy or to feel like I'm privileged, because God's there to give me His own excellence. Because you know how a test is. The test only tests for little parts of what you have to know. And you end up studying for things you never have to take a test on. And so God knows what's in the test before you take it. He knows how to get you ready. Why? Because he's excellent and he wants you to do well. Because he's an excellent God. And when he does it right. Amen. Now, what does that look like? So God wants to call us to his own glory and excellence. But then in verse 5, he also says this. For this very reason, because he wants you to be really excellent at what you do, he says this, make every effort. That means that excellence requires effort. It requires effort. You got to work at it. You got to do something. You got to carry it out. Then he says, supplement your faith. Wait a minute. I thought all I had to do was just believe, Birgit. I mean, just tell me, just believe everything's fine. Just believe, just believe, just believe. No. No, you got to add something to it. And that word translated virtue is really the same word as excellence. Add to your faith excellence. So God says, I want to give you my glory and my excellence. So you got to believe me and then work at something to be excellent in what you're believing. Add to it. Do something about your faith. Put excellence to your faith. That's what he's saying. Now let's go down and it says add excellence, knowledge. So I want you to see this, that the excellence, the desire to be excellent in whatever it is that you do for God and with God will cause you to know stuff that you didn't know. God wants you to know stuff you didn't know before. Well, praise God. Praise God. He wants you to get smarter. He wants you to be wiser. He wants you to be more accomplished in whatever it is that you do. Whatever it is that God wants you to do. And my whole life, it seems like I'm always challenged by something that I don't know. And I got to need to know about something. And sometimes when you look at a situation and you don't know what to do, you got to call somebody who knows it. You got to find somebody who's got some excellence in that particular area. So I'm giving you an example today about something. We're fixing up Danny's house. Danny is moving out for a little bit. Well, we're turning one of the rooms there into a master bath. And in order to put a master bath, we want to put tile. In order to have a good tiled surface, I've learned that floor is going to be level. Because if it isn't very level, then what's going to happen when you step on the tile? It's going to crack. All right, that house was built in 1927. And they added on the room. I'm just being a little technical, guys. If just people that are, but when they added that room on, they didn't properly connect the new room to the old, and so there's a beam that's not properly connected. Anybody here do renovations on homes, you will know that you will discover that there's a whole lot of stuff done in houses that were never done right. And so you got to go back and fix what was done wrong the first time. Say, I got to that situation. I don't have a lot of fixing up experience, okay? I can do basic. Everybody say basic. I can do basic stuff. But there are times when you call somebody who is, thank you, excellent. Come on, say the word excellent. You got to call an excellent person. Why? Because you want some glory out of this. Right? You want some glory out of this. Because when you put a beautiful tile floor together, doesn't it look good? And you do it right? And I learned how to do tile. Somewhere along the line, I learned how to do tile. And I do tile. I do a little bit of everything. That's why God sent me to this place for the longest period of time, just to help do stuff. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And God, by his grace, is doing it. And then he'll send somebody who has some excellence for things that we don't know how to do. Okay? So this is why God wants us to aspire to excellence. And that's why he'll add to our knowledge. Everybody say knowledge. We want our knowledge to grow. And our knowledge doesn't stay level our whole lives. We always grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God, there are times when God will show me how to do stuff, and I feel it's the Lord is helping me. That happened the other day. I was working with a situation, and how many of you put off things because you're trying to do something you're not comfortable in doing with because you don't really know how to do it? So what do? You just put it on you put it off. You put it off. You put it off. Well, the deadline was coming. Everybody say deadline. And that means you got to face up to what you don't know. So here it is. I'm dealing with a situation. I'm not really comfortable with it. And I go, God, I just something is me. The Holy Spirit said, just ask the Lord to help you with this. Duh. So I asked him, I said, Lord, I really need help with this. I really do. So it's like something came over me. It's like I just felt different. And I said, okay, I'm going to do it. I sat down and knocked it out in about 2 hours. Just did it. It just, the Holy Spirit just said, do it. And it's like I understood it. I knew what I had to do because I knew it was a very, very important project that I had to do to wrap things up so I can move on. I want to move on in my life. Do you want to move on in your life? How many of you know that sometimes the devil will hold you up with stuff like that because he doesn't want you to move on to greater excellence? Excellence means you're constantly getting better at something. It doesn't mean you come to this level where you don't ever get better. It just means that you're adding to your faith. The faith is the starting point and the doorway to excellence. But you don't just sit there and say, well, I believe in you, Lord. I'm just going to call you Lord, 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 and not do anything you tell me to do. Faith without works is dead. Faith without excellence is dead. You got to put excellence to your faith. You got to, as you put excellence, God adds to your knowledge, and then these other things come out. But I want you to see this because we want to get to verse 16. Now, we're working our way down to verse 16. Look at verse 16. For we did not follow. We did not follow. Peter says this. Cleverly devised myths. Cleverly devised myths. This scripture just tears me up. Every time I see it, it's so important. We don't follow cleverly devised stories, myths, and today the word is narrative. Everybody say narrative. That is the hot word right now. All right? The government wants to control the narrative. The media companies want to control the narrative. The narrative is what people say and how they're saying it. The other word for narrative, guys, is myth. Myth is a story that somebody makes up so that you think it's true. And a narrative is the very same thing. It's just the same exact thing. A narrative, and when someone wants to control a narrative, that means they want to control the way you think and the way that you act and the way that you feel. But who is in control of our narrative, really? And it's not because it's just he's making up stuff to make us feel better. Do you see? People will just do stuff. They'll just make up stuff to make themselves feel better because their conscience is saying something else. So they make up a narrative. Okay? In counseling terms, they call it rationalization. When you're dealing with alcoholics, and you're dealing with abusers and addicted people, you rationalize behavior so that your mind won't bug you when you do stupid stuff. Like drink every day. Whatever the behavior is that you want to conquer, you've got to stop the narrative and let Lord's narrative take over. So that's just from my experience in dealing with that stuff, okay? But I want you to see this, that we don't follow that. Peter said, everything that we're telling you about Jesus is the truth. This is not, I'm not making this stuff up as I go. I'm telling you, this is what is real and what really happened. And you guys can have that kind of certainty in your life about Jesus that I have. Peter is saying it. Look, you guys can have what I have. Even though I lived during the life of Jesus, I sat with him, I walked with him, I was on the mountaintop with him, I was in the Sea of Galilee in the boat with him. You too can know Jesus with the same amount of confidence and reality and certainty within, and I can do it. Because it's in my words. I'm leaving these words with you so that when you read them, the Holy Spirit will witness to them and you'll know it's the truth because you'll experience Jesus like I did. Come on, someone say amen to that. I mean, I don't want to just follow somebody's little story in a book. And I'm glad the Bible, you know, the Bible for me at first was stories in a book. Yeah, that's what it was for me. But something shifted. Something changed when the Bible just wasn't a bunch of stories about Jesus. Because I heard the voice of the living Word talk to me, named Jesus. That's when it changes. And it's not just a story. We are surrounded by a philosophy that says truth is only true as that individual says it is. And that you can't know the same truth. That's why one of our government leaders got up and said, when someone asked them, what's a woman? They said, I don't know. I'm not lying, am I? Because they have been manipulated and manufactured lies. Everybody say manipulated. Manipulated. That means man manipulates it. Manipulated. How about manufactured? Who does the facturing? Man. I want a God facturing. Not a man facturing. I want to know it's the truth. And our society is much farther away from the foundations of our country and other countries too, actually. There's been a shift away by the people in power that you can't know anything. That's just whatever I tell you, that's the truth. They don't want to mess the myth up. You know, Jesus said you had to have faith in me and my words. You can't just have faith in Jesus without having faith in the words. You can't do it. Oh, I love God, but you don't do a thing he says or think anything he says is true. God wants us with excellence to build a house of knowledge. I want God to look at my house and even though it's got three wires in that electric box, my buddy, them wires are going to be hooked up right. I ain't going to switch my leads. I'm not going to switch my, I mean, I've seen that how many times, Keen? How many of you seen that scene where people, you come to an old house and the leads have been switched? You know what I mean? Hots and cold, many times, what? He can't count that high. You see what I'm saying? And God wants us to build a house with excellence. I mean, a house of knowledge where it's done right. Because you want to add to your faith excellence, because if you have an attitude of excellence, you'll have an attitude of knowledge, and you want to know what's really going on. You really want to know the truth. All right. Luke 6, verse 46. And we sang this song. We sang it in a song form today. It was so funny because I wanted to do this song and I picked this song before God gave me this message, which is really nice. But Jesus said, Luke 6, 46, why do you call me Lord and don't do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he's like. He's man building a house. Everybody say building a house. Yeah, and we're talking about a house of knowledge. Okay? Now I want you to think of this as a house of knowledge. What's in your head? Because you do what's in your head. If your house of knowledge is built dumb and not built right, then what's going to happen? He's going to tell you. You lay the foundation on rock. If you do that, and who's the rock? Jesus is the rock. What's the rock confession? Christ Jesus, you're my Lord. That's our rock confession. If you start from that rock, then when you build your house, it's going to be good. Now, it says this. A flood comes. Everybody say flood. Streams break against the house. Yeah. They can't shake it because it's been well built. So we know that our knowledge, what we know, what God wants to build, our house of knowledge, it's going to be challenged. It's going to be challenged by floods. That means forces that are going to come against it. It's not the water that of a flood that will destroy a house. It's the force of the water. That water has a tremendous amount of force. And as my son Danny knows and some other people, you get in a river, it can be scary because the force of that water can do what? It can just knock you down and knock you out. It's the strength of that water that will destroy the house. So your knowledge has to be strong because it's going to get challenged. That's why you got to build with excellence. And for the one who hears and does not do them will be a man who built a house on ground without a foundation. When that stream broke against it, immediately fell, and the ruin of that house of knowledge was great. You don't want to have your whole brain messed up and knowledge blown up your whole life. You want to go to the very end and say, man, what I believed about my life and Jesus is true, and it's real. I don't want to get to the end of my life and say everything I've lived was a lie, or there were things that are just wrong, or that I was fooling myself about stuff. So let's turn to the biggest picture of building a house of knowledge in the Old Testament. All right, so we're going to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. Verse 1, 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 1. That's right. David had it in his heart to build a house for God. He wanted the Lord to live with him so he can go to his house. And the Lord showed him where the house would live. He gave him the address. Now, let me tell you this. Getting saved is like God giving you his address. Now you know where to find him. You find him in Jesus. Jesus says, I'm the address. Find me, you got Father God. Find me, and you got him. Okay, praise God. Then it says, David commanded to gather together the resident people and all that kind of stuff. But I want you to go down there to verse 6 now. Skip down to verse 6. So David found the place to put God's house, and we're going to call this a house of knowledge. Okay, I want you to think of the house of knowledge here. And God told him, you're not going to build it. Your son's going to build it. And he called for Solomon, his son, and challenged him to build a house for the Lord, the God of Israel. David said, my son, I had it in my heart to build a house in the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me and said, you have shed much blood. Everybody say much blood. And have waged great wars. Everybody say great wars. All right, because you've shed so much blood before me on earth. Behold, a son shall be born to you who shall be a man of, everybody say peace, rest, peace. I will give him rest and peace from all his surrounding enemies. Okay? His name shall be peace. Solomon means peace. Shlomo. Shalom. A guy named Shlomo means a guy named peaceful. Okay? He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish his throne in Israel forever. Okay. Now, the Lord, my son, the Lord be with you so that you may succeed in building the house of knowledge, the Lord your God, as he has spoken concerning you. All right, so let's see this in the light of Jesus. Okay? Jesus was called the son of David, wasn't he? All right? How do we see Jesus in this passage? Well, this is going to be interesting. We see Jesus in David's life because Jesus was a man of blood and a man of war. Why? It says there's a lot of shedding of blood. Well, who shed his blood for us? When you hear that word shedding of blood, that is Bible code for sacrifice. And Jesus, here's what I'm saying. Jesus did not build a house, okay? He's going to appoint his son to build a house, okay? And guess who his sons are? Or his? You and me. We're the people of God. We are the house of God. So God the Father is saying, Jesus, you're a man of blood because your blood was shed and you fought a great war, didn't he? And he won the war, didn't he? How did he win? By dying. He won the war by dying. And you fought a great war, didn't you? And your blood was shed, and therefore, Jesus, you're not building it, the house, because your sons are going to do that. Your brothers, he called them brothers, actually. So this is a picture of Jesus. David represents Jesus. Solomon represents, well, to me, the resurrected Jesus. That's the Jesus that they met on the road to Emmaus, or you and me. The Jesus in you and me. Because the Jesus in you and me is a man of peace. And we're men and women of peace. Say, I am a man and or woman of peace. You can say, use whatever word you want to use. I am a man of peace. Say it. Because Jesus fought my battle and won the victory. That's the only way to have peace, isn't it? I'm telling you, man's peace, they call it a ceasefire. But Jesus' work on the cross was not a ceasefire. Can somebody say amen? It wasn't brokered in the UN. It was brokered in heaven, and it was a victory. The enemy was defeated, and he was put in chains and paraded as defeated. We have peace because Jesus won the victory. We have peace because Jesus won the victory. He's a man of blood. Therefore, our starting point is peace because our starting point is victory. Our starting point is peace because our starting point is victory. Always win with the Lord when you begin with victory as your mindset, not defeat as your mindset. Don't you give the devil any credit when you've got the victory already in Jesus. I'm serious. Don't act like some poor little blah, 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 like you're barely hanging on there. Come on. If God gave you the victory, start acting like it. Act like it and be a person of peace. I thank you, Lord. The devil may blow his loud horn, but it doesn't mean a thing. It doesn't mean a thing. I may feel pain in my body, but it doesn't mean a thing. Why? Because Jesus won the victory. And he did it 2,000 years ago at the cross. And he'll keep doing it and manifesting it and showing it and demonstrating it in my life. Because I don't live by what I see in my natural mind. I'm building a house of knowledge that will stand. And if I'm living by my feelings, if I'm living by what I think or the world's ways of thinking, I'll never know victory. Because the knowledge of God is the knowledge of victory and peace. And we operate out of peace. We don't operate out of panic. Come on. Come on. Jesus rebuked the disciples in the boat because they were panicking. Oh, Lord, save us. What did he say to them? Oh, you little faith. Why are you scared? Now, he rebuked them. That sounds rough, you know. Oh, God, but God loves me. God loves me, and he's never going to tell me anything like that. Oh, yes, he will. Because God loves you. He's going to tell you like it is. I mean, aren't you glad that he talks to you more like a mature person than a little baby? Let him tell you the tough stuff. And there are times when the Lord's kind of had to adjust me and say, John, I'm going to tell you something you may not like. And I got to learn, you got to learn to say, okay, Lord, bring it on. Bring it on. Because you realize it may not be what you want to hear. You may need to get your game up a little bit and get a little more excellent in what you're doing. And that's what it's all about. We build our house on Christ's victory. That's how we build it. And as because Jesus was a man of blood, we are people of peace. Now, verse 11. Now, my son, the Lord be with you so that you may succeed in building the house of knowledge of the Lord your God as he has spoken concerning you. So God's presence will give us success. It says, the Lord be with you, verse 11. Only may the Lord grant you discretion and understanding. What's that? Knowledge. He's going to give you knowledge so that when he gives you charge as the king, we rule and reign with Jesus Christ, right? We are called kings and priests. Everybody say kings and priests. Come on, that means that we are not, you know, we are slaves to God so we can be kings in the earth. I'll do whatever you say, God, so that I can deal with life from not the point a point of like being a nobody, where I can talk like a son of God. Amen. So, as he's spoken to you, only may the Lord, what is it now? Okay. May the Lord grant discretion, understanding that when he gives you authority over Israel, you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will prosper if you are careful to observe the word of the Lord, the statutes and rules that the Lord commanded Moses for Israel. And I want you to hear me on this. It's through faith in Christ that we have authority. With great pain have I provided for the house of the Lord. Who says that to us? Not David, but the son of David. Who suffered the pain so that we can have provision? Jesus. He says, how much provision? 100,000 talents of gold. That means it's a whole lot. You can't count it. That's a lot of money. How many? 1,000,000 talents of silver and bronze and iron beyond weighing. There's so much of it. Think about this. Our God is a God of eternity. How do you know eternity? You get to the point where you can't count it anymore. Just not can't do it. Just keeps going. And I'm not going to be a math teacher and tell you what there are expressions of that in the world. But there gets to be a place where you stop counting because it just keeps going. That's our God of God. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he's provided for you. It was the pain of Jesus that it gave us provision. There is not a single thing that you need that God hasn't provided for already. Thank you, Pastor Ronnie. Let's all say that. There isn't a single thing. Everybody say that. There isn't a single thing, not one thing, that God hasn't provided already for you. It was his pain for my gain. No pain, no gain. Come on, guys. Have you heard that expression? No pain, no gain. It's his pain for our gain. All right, come on now. I know, maybe you're getting tired. I'm sorry, I don't want to keep you too long. Here we go. And then he says, okay, I provided you an abundance of workmen and all kinds of craftsmen, excellent people. A craftsman is a person who's excellent at what they do and skilled at working gold, silver and bronze and iron. Good materials. Good materials. And I'm not going to talk more about that because we know that you can buy something and it looks exactly the same, but you better make sure the materials are good. All right, so the hard work comes from abundant provision. Hard work comes from God's abundant provision. And I'm going to close with that. When God, number one, God's called us to be excellent. Our excellence is through faith in God's abundant provision. Because God has provided everything for us, it doesn't mean we're lazy. We're peaceful. Everybody know the difference? You could be restful. He called Solomon a man of rest, but not lazy. Big difference. So say to your neighbor, you ain't lazy, but you're peaceful. Big diff. Because if you get lazy, I'm going to get on you. That's right. So sometimes you end up working more when God gives you peace. I'm thinking of my buddy right here. He's working a whole lot more in some things that he never thought he'd work in because he got peace about it. And now he's working harder. Am I right? Why? God opened up a door for him. He's getting ready to work hard. Very hard. He's going to work hard. God's opening up a door of provision, so he's got a place to work hard. Because he's working with God's victory in his heart and God's peace in his heart. And purpose, yeah, because God gives us that. So we work hard, not hardly work. That's what God wants us to do. And that's because Jesus gave us that abundant provision. He said, here it is. I've got a warehouse full of stuff that you can't even count. Get it anytime you need. But you're going to have to work at getting it out because it's a lot of stuff you're going to need. You got to reap it. And God's calling us to that as people. So I want us to bow our heads, and then we're gonna send Danny off and also pray for our buddy here, his move. So let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you that your victory that you've given to us came from your suffering. And that your provision came out of your hardship. And that you fought a battle and won so that we can have authority in the peace of God to put down every work of the enemy. And Father God, we pray that we would step into a greater part of your excellence. So I want you to just repeat after me, and if you really mean it, then I want to say it. Say, Father God, I want more excellence in my life. An excellence that comes from your peace because of your victory and because, Jesus, you were a man of blood so that I could be a man of peace. And, Lord, I thank you that you have given me a provision that I can't count. It stretches into eternity. It'll always be there for me. In Jesus' name.